This is Talking Business. Well, I'm joined now by Chad Gates, who's the Managing Director of Pronto Software. G'day, Chad.
Hello, Alan. Good to be here.
Now, the striking thing about Pronto Software is that it's more than 30 years old, 40 years old. It's 40 years old.
Yes, 40 years old.
I mean, that's amazing. What was going on 40 years ago in software? That was...
It was a very different world. Yeah, it was a very different world.
Different world.
1976, the company started.
Yeah, so tell us about who started it and why. What was the product?
Well, originally, actually, it wasn't a software product at all. There was a consultant by the name of Dave Nolan. He was hired by a company called CMAD, and they built computer hardware. And they hired Dave and six programmers to write some software for their hardware platform. Yeah, some finance software, basically. After a while, CMAD were in some financial trouble later, and Dave saw an opportunity.
So they were an Australian hardware, computer hardware.
I don't even remember that. Yeah, it's the software that was originally written was written in COBOL. You know, and it only ran on CMAD hardware. So Dave saw an opportunity to actually.
And they were manufacturing that here.
I'm not sure whether they manufactured it here, but they certainly sold it here in the local market. And was primarily a hardware business, and they believed there was no future in software. So Dave actually thought otherwise, and he actually hired a couple of guys to write a software layer to make the software programs that they were running independent from the hardware.
Using COBOL?
No, actually, not at the time. They wrote a fourth-generation programming language to essentially abstract it from the CMAD
hardware.
They
made up their own language.
They did. They did. And what they did then, Dave actually bought that business off of CMAD, and CMAD then went the way of the dodo. And Dave ran that company, and the company was called Prometheus Software, and the product became Pronto. And became the platform that.
So, what was the product?
The product was called Pronto.
What did it do?
Oh, it was finance and distribution software. So,
what does that mean?
It basically ran businesses. So, businesses who ran accounting, you know, inventory in and out of the business.
So, was it a forerunner to MYOB or something?
Well, it was a transactional system. It was made for organisations a bit larger than an MYOB style, but a very similar concept in that it was, you know, back end transactional software essentially, and Dave ran that business and it grew exponentially throughout.
And owned it? Did he own it all?
He owned it. And then in the late 90s, he wanted to retire, and there was a bit of a falling out between him and the staff, and that he wanted to sell it, and he sold it for what many people thought was too cheaply to Sausage Software at the time.
Oh, he sold it to Sausage Software?
Yes, during the dot-com boom in the late 90s.
And how much for, do you remember?
Oh, I honestly don't know. Not enough, apparently. and there was a lot of argy-bargy at the time about the fact that it wasn't.
So when was this? The early 90s?
The late, it was the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, right.
Sausage was an overhyped dot-com company.
Was it ever?
Yes, and they used that overhyped valuation to buy Prometheus at the time. And also they bought SMS Management, who were a sort of an IT body shop. And then the dot-com crash happened in around the year 2000, and SMS actually mounted a reverse takeover and actually took over Sausage and acquired Prometheus at the same time. They then proceeded to clean up their balance sheet and decided that the Pronto product and Prometheus was not part of their strategy, so they put the company up for sale. The then CEO of Prometheus, David Jackman, decided he saw an opportunity, and he went to the staff and a number of staff at the time. They mortgaged their houses, they borrowed against their
own. They all chipped in.
They did. There was about 40 of them.
That's great.
And they all chipped in and they bought the company.
How much? Do you remember how much for?
I think it was something around the order of $4 million. At the time. And they wrote a prospectus, and any accountant that the staff showed it to would say, don't invest in this, you must be mad. You know, on paper it looked like a very bad idea.
And it was still doing basically what Dave Nolan had set up?
It was still, but the product had expanded quite a bit in that time. And the staff really took it on, and they bought the company, and then it grew 15% year on year exponentially from that point and became Pronto Software. It was renamed.
Nothing like staff owned.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, that's right. It became Pronto Software.
Talk about motivation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we actually restructured into a public, an unlisted public company in 2012. And open up the shareholding to more staff. So we now have about 150 staff shareholders. So we're still owned
and
by
only
the staff.
Staff shareholders.
Yes, yep. Staff and you know, because we're public, we now have, you know, some people have their self-managed super funds representing them, you know, and whatnot, and some spouses and whatnot. But yes, it is.
But is there a rule in the constitution that says it can only be staff, and who can the staff sell to?
No, essentially, technically, anyone can buy Pronto shares, but it's only if someone wants to sell you some. But the existing shareholders get first dibs and whatnot, but there are constitutional...
So that's what I mean. So yes. existing staff shareholders have first right of refusal
generally,
over
yes.
somebody selling?
Yeah, we have various protections in place in the Constitution to prevent, for example, a particular, you know, one shareholder taking over the company or the company being sold off and whatnot. So it's a very good, sound financial model. And the other interesting part is that Pronto has never had any debt, any bank debt. So we've been entirely self-funded from day one, So including to this day.
So when did you join? 2014, wasn't it?
No, I joined the company in 2005. So
2005?
Yes, right. Yes. My background is sort of long and checkered, but I came out of the retail industry. I was 20 years in retail before joining Pronto.
And you became CEO last year?
Yes. Right. I was there. So 12 years.
So 12 years later. When you joined in 2005, did you buy shares or were they given to you?
No. I had no shares at all. I joined as a product manager, so I came out of the retail industry.
Not all staff own shares?
No. We have about 380, just under 400 staff now, but there's about 150 staff shareholders. So
there's two classes of staff: the shareholder staff and there's non-shareholder.
The haves and the want-to-haves. Yes, I think
it's a bit like an accounting firm with its partners and staff.
A little bit. I think we have a culture of staff retention. So our staff tenure is very long. Very much above the industry average. So our average staff tenure is around 10 years.
So when did you transition to being a staff shareholder?
Oh, actually it was around the time we became public in 2012. We made one of the shareholders, someone exited the business and put their shares up for sale. And because we were a private company, we'd maxed out the number of shareholders that we could have, which is one of the motivations for going to becoming a public entity. The idea was to actually open it up to more staff to get people to buy in. And a whole lot of staff bought in. And it was a really good endorsement, I suppose, of the company culture that people were willing to put their hands in their pockets and just to buy, you know, might be a small parcel of whatever, just to have a little bit of the company. And I think that speaks volumes about what the staff think of the company.
So you bought it in 2012, is that right?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Has it been a good investment?
Yes, it has.
Does it pay a dividend?
We do pay dividends, yes. In fact, when the original staff bought in, the company paid them back in 2 years and has been paying them ever since. And actually, the funny story is we had one of the original staff didn't actually understand that they would keep getting paid. They just thought it was a loan. And they thought, oh, I've got my money back now. That's fine. Thanks for that. But then, you know, had to be told.
Oh, I see.
You're going to keep getting paid every year. And again, that lends itself to
discovering the wonders of equity.
Indeed, yeah. So you know, it's been a great story, and to this day, you know, we're still self-funded and self-governing, which is great.
And now you're the boss.
Unusual in this industry, yes.
And now you're the boss. So
indeed.
Who's your board? Who's on your board?
Our board, we have an independent chairman. We have our ex-managing director is on the board as a non-executive director. And we have four other shareholders, one of whom still works in the business as the company secretary. And in fact, no, two others also work in the business, the two of the original programmers who wrote some of the original code. And they're still in the business working in non-management roles. So it's great.
And how much does what percentage does the largest shareholder own?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's somewhere around 20%.
Oh, so someone's got 20%.
Mm. Right. So, but there's a small minority shareholders that own a bigger chunk than the rest, but that's okay. And again, the Constitution protects us from all of, you know, from any of those getting any bigger. So, but it's a well-balanced model and it's worked really well for us.
So what's the business now? What's the software you've got now?
It's actually, we have a very diverse range of software now. So we're still fundamentally in what's called an ERP company. So we sell enterprise software to run businesses, and we have now over 1,700 business customers around the world, and about 80% of those are in Australia and New Zealand.
But what's the biggest product?
It's called Pronto. It's our own product. It's called Pronto XI. So it is basically an ERP transactional platform, and we plug into it a whole bunch of other technology, including business intelligence, e-commerce, you know, mobile devices, you know, so anything to do with running businesses, whether it's retailers or, you know, manufacturers, distribution companies, and the like. So,
what is it? But when you say, does it do transactions, or does it actually just provide information about them?
Both. All of the above, essentially. We like to be – one of the things that differentiates us in the market is that we are very vertically integrated. So our software works at the front end of a business. For example, if you walk into a retail store like, for example, Nike, you know, the front end of that business runs our software, and then it goes – you know, it can go right through to the back end, to the accounting, to the warehouse, to the distribution, to the suppliers, you know, to that whole sort of ecosystem.
And how do you charge? Is it a subscription?
We can do either. Actually, we have many customers who have perpetual ownership license of the software, and we have a lot of subscription customers, although we're seeing the market shifting over, you know, over the last 5 years, particularly towards a subscription model.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Yes. And we also run a full end-to-end cloud business, which we actually started back in 2006, but in the last 5 years, it's just exploded in terms of the you know, the rate of customers moving into the cloud.
Are there many Australian competitors, or you're only competing with American companies?
There are a few Australian competitors.
Well, I suppose you compete with SAP as well.
We compete with all of the major international vendors as well, and that's one of the things that is interesting with us, because we are primarily focused on the sort of the middle to upper market. We have customers of all sizes, but mostly the owner-operated mid-market businesses. Those customers relate well to us because we are also a mid-market owner-operated business, and I suppose the key element there is, you know, is trust. And we're an Australian company. We own our product stack. We are responsible for what we sell. So there's only one throat to choke, so to speak. If things go wrong, it comes to us and we fix it. So I think that gives, especially owner-operators who are spending their own money on this stuff, some level of assurance.
Well, I think one throat to choke is probably a good note on which to end.
Thank
today.
You.
It's been great talking to you, Chad. Thank
no
you.
No worries. Thank you very much.
I've been talking to Chad Gates, who's the Managing Director of Pronto Software.